Game on, everyone. Welcome back to the deep dive. We are kicking off 2026, and I have to say, this is not a normal January.
Not at all.
Usually the gaming industry is like taking a massive nap right now. We're supposed to be cleaning up wrapping paper and just playing whatever we got for Christmas. It should be quiet.
That's the traditional rhythm, yeah. A sort of post-holiday hangover where the studios just take a breath.
But not this year. Oh no. This year, it feels like the industry woke up and chose absolute violence. We have chaos on, almost every front.
And looking at the research today, it's not just about new games. We're talking about glitches.
Exactly. But not just the kind of glitch that, you know, makes your character fall through the map.
No, this is a much deeper distinction for this week.
Right. We are going to talk about software glitches. We'll get to Bungie in a minute. But we're also talking about glitches in the economy. Glitches in corporate strategy.
And honestly, glitches in the whole relationship between creators and players.
It's a fascinating start to the year. If you kind of step back and look at the big picture, you can see this massive tension bubbling up.
It's almost like a battle between the machine. So the algorithms, the profit margins, the automated tools.
And the soul. The actual human experience of playing and making these games.
The machine versus the soul. That's a perfect lens for what we're seeing.
It really is. And we have some stories that fit that perfectly. We are going to cover a literal infinite money glitch at GameStop.
Involving the new Switch 2, of all things.
We've got Bungie basically fighting their own ancient tech to launch Marathon. And then this really weird tale of two updates, Fallout 76 versus a cozy game called Heartopia.
Plus a little check-in on Pokemon Go, actually, respecting our calendars for once.
Which is a miracle in itself. Okay, so let's start with the story that made me wish I was paying attention to YouTube at 2 in the morning. The GameStop thing.
Ah, yes. The great arbitrage event of 2026.
This feels like something out of a heist movie where the bank vault was just left open by a robot.
It's a classic case of systems just completely failing to understand human behavior.
Arbitrage. Okay, you're using the fancy economics word. I just call it free money.
Yeah.
For anyone listening who missed this, lay out the crime scene. What happened?
So it all started with a YouTuber, RJC Media. He was digging through GameStop's trade-in promotions for January.
Which they always do, right? To get inventory.
Exactly. Trade in a console, get an extra $50, that kind of thing. But RJC Media did the math on the brand new Nintendo Switch 2.
Okay.
GameStop's algorithm had a base trade-in value, which was already pretty high. And then there was a separate promotional bonus, like a percentage kicker, for new generation hardware.
So you have two different numbers stacking on top of each other.
Correct. And when you stacked them, the total store credit GameStop was offering for a Switch 2 trade-in was actually higher than the retail price of a pre-owned Switch 2 sitting on the shelf.
Wait, hold on. Let me get this straight. I could walk in, buy a used Switch 2 off the shelf for, $350.
Right.
Then walk out, turn around, walk back in, and trade it back to them for $380 in credit.
That was the loop.
Yes.
You are buying low and selling high instantly to the exact same store. And because it's store credit, you just do it again.
That's incredible. It's a literal infinite money glitch in real life. You could just stand there and farm GameStop.
And people did. The video went viral. It became this hive mind event. People coordinating on Discord, figuring out which stores had stock. Yeah. They were flooding locations before corporate caught on.
It's like an old MMO exploit where a boss drops too much gold and everyone farms it for an hour before the devs wake up.
But in a physical store, they panicked, of course. GameStop issued a statement calling it a pricing anomaly.
Which is the most polite corporate way of saying our algorithm just robbed us.
Pretty much. And they patched their point of sale systems almost immediately. They hard coded a new rule. Trade-in value cannot exceed the purchase price. Ever.
But this gets back to your machine versus soul idea, right? This only happened because it's all automated.
Totally. There's no human manager with a calculator saying, wait a minute, we're paying them how much? The machine was just executing code, and that code was never stress tested against, a motivated community of gamers looking for a loophole.
It's funny, we talk so much about how smart AI and computers are getting, but this just proves these systems are still so fragile they don't get context.
They don't.
Yeah.
And if you leave a door open, someone will walk through it.
Yeah.
It also feels so retro, doesn't it?
So retro. In an age of digital everything, the biggest story is people driving to brick and mortar stores to trade plastic boxes.
It just shows the community is always faster than the corporation.
Speaking of corporations trying to keep up, let's pivot to a digital ecosystem that's maybe even more chaotic. Let's talk about Bungie.
Oh boy. If GameStop had a bad week, Bungie is having a full-on technical identity crisis.
So set the stage. Marathon is coming. This is their big new thing.
It's huge for them. Their first major non-Destiny release in over a decade. It's an extraction shooter, super high stakes, neon sci-fi aesthetic.
Yeah.
They really need this to be a hit.
The hype is real. I've seen the trailers. And pre-orders finally went live this month. But it didn't quite go smoothly.
No. And this is where it gets really messy. Players who started linking their accounts for marathon pre-order bonuses, they started noticing weird issues back in Destiny 2.
Weird how?
Weird as in data was like bleeding between the two games. People were getting content unverified errors trying to load into Crucible matches. The main map, the director, was glitching out. It was almost like Marathon was haunting Destiny.
That sounds like a developer's worst nightmare, but how does that even happen? They're separate games, right?
Well, yes and no. It all comes down to something called the Tiger Engine.
The Tiger Engine, that sounds impressive, but I have a feeling it's not.
From Seasoned, let's say that. It's the engine they've used for Destiny for years, and it's infamous for being difficult to work with. Bungie has a massive amount of what we call technical debt.
Okay, define that for us. What does technical debt actually look like?
Imagine you build a house, then you add an extension, then you put on a second floor, and over 10 years you just keep patching it and adding new wires without ever ripping out the old ones.
So it's a labyrinth of quick fixes.
Exactly. And now they're trying to plug a brand new skyscraper marathon into that same messy power grid. They're trying to run two massive live service games on a back end that was already struggling with one.
The cracks are literally starting to show.
They are. And because of these glitches, we got some big news. The next major Destiny 2 update, Shadow and Order, has been officially delayed.
Wow, they're pushing Destiny aside. That feels risky. Destiny players are passionate.
It's a huge risk. But Bungie stated they need to clear the runway for Marathon. It's about cannibalization.
Cannibalization, you mean like eating their own sales?
Exactly. If they launch a massive Destiny expansion the same month Marathon comes out, they're forcing their own fans to choose. They need everyone focus on Marathon to make sure it has a healthy launch.
I get the business logic, but from a player perspective, it feels like Destiny is suddenly the unloved middle child.
There's definitely that feeling. But Bungie does have a bit of a safety net here. We have to remember the last expansion, Renegades.
That's true. Renegades was really good, that space western vibe.
It was a huge hit. It bought them a lot of goodwill. So the community is being patient for now. But this signals a real shift. Destiny 2 is no longer the only kid in the house.
It's going to be fascinating to see if that old engine can handle the weight. Okay, let's move on to the segment that I think really nails this whole machine versus soul idea.
Right, the tale is two updates.
So we have two games. One is being praised for being absolutely, totally boring, and the other is getting destroyed for trying to be too efficient.
The contrast between Fallout 76 and Heartopia.
Exactly. Let's start with Fallout. Bethesda drops a big new update. I'm looking at the patch notes. There are no new raid bosses, no new story. It's just a list of chores.
And yet the community reaction has been, well, overwhelmingly positive.
Why? Usually, if an update has no content, people grab the pitchforks.
Because for Fallout 76 players right now, boring means stable. This was just a maintenance patch. They fixed crash-to-desktop errors, texture popping in campees.
Oh, and look at this. They finally optimized the Pip-Boy menu.
That's the big one.
For anyone who hasn't played, explain why the Pip-Boy is such a big deal. It's just a menu, right?
It's a menu you live in half the game. It's your inventory. And if you're a high-level player, you're carrying hundreds of legendary items. The menu used to lag so badly every time you opened it, it broke the flow of combat.
And now it's snappy again, so it's pure quality of life. It's making the machine run smoother.
It is. And with all the new players coming from the Fallout TV show, Bethesda realized they didn't need a flashy new monster. They needed the game to just work. It shows respect for the player's time.
It's about trust. I trust that when I press the button, the game will do what it's supposed to do.
Exactly. Now, compare that to Heartopia.
Heartopia, the cozy life sim, right? Pastel colors, farming, cute animals. It launched to rave reviews.
Overwhelmingly positive on Steam, a real indie darling.
Ah.
Until the developers made an admission.
They admitted they used generative AI.
Yes. In a blog post, they confirmed that some background textures and dialogue variations for the NPCs were made with AI tools to streamline production.
And the internet immediately revolted.
Instant review bombing. the game's rating plummeted to mixed in a few days.
Okay, so let me play devil's advocate for a second. We just praised Bethesda for fixing code. Developers use tools all the time to make games. Why is AI text in a cozy game such a crime?
It comes down to the promise of the genre. What is a cozy game actually selling you?
I guess relaxation, a feeling of safety, escapism.
They're selling warmth. They're selling a human touch. You play a game like that to feel a connection, to feel like a real person crafted this world for you.
And if you find out a robot wrote the love letter from your animal neighbor?
It feels hollow. There was a Steam review that went viral that I think just said it perfectly. Knowing a machine wrote these letters makes the whole experience feel hollow.
That's powerful. It's like the uncanny valley, but for emotion.
That's it, exactly. When Bethesda uses code to fix a crash, that is a machine fixing a machine. We like that.
Yeah.
But when Heartopia uses code to generate dialogue, that's the machine replacing the soul.
So it's about intent. If I'm in a shooter, I probably don't care if the graffiti on a wall was AI generated.
It wouldn't even notice. But in a game that is literally built on relationships and care, that labor of love feeling is part of the product. They broke the spell. They basically told their audience, we automated your comfort.
A tough lesson for developers. Sometimes the human effort, the inefficiency is the point.
And I think we're going to see this conflict play out over and over again in 2026. The temptation to use these tools is irresistible. But Heartopia proves the audience is highly sensitive to it.
They want to know a person's on the other side of the screen. Which, speaking of people on the other side of the park, let's do a quick check-in on Pokemon Go.
A nice, light topic to cleanse the palate.
So, Niantic dropped an update about the future. The Precious Paths season is ending, and they've already locked in the dates for the next season's community days.
And it seems like such a small thing, just 4 dates on a calendar. But for the Pokemon Go community, this is huge.
Because that game requires you to physically exist somewhere. You can't just play it from your couch.
Exactly. A community day means meeting up, going to a park, maybe booking a pavilion. People have to request time off work.
I've seen those groups. 50 people just wandering around a plaza, staring at their phones. If you find out 3 days before, you can't plan for it.
So by releasing these dates months in advance, Niantic is showing a rare bit of respect for the player's real life. They're acknowledging that their game dictates physical schedules.
It's that trust thing again. Fallout players trust the game won't crash. Pokemon Go players trust that if they book a Saturday off, the event will be there.
And the speculation is already running wild about what the Pokemon will
be. Elites, what are the data miners saying?
It's split. Some think we're getting new generation starters, which would be huge. Others think they'll lean into nostalgia classics to bring back lapsed players.
Well, either way, at least people can buy their sunscreen and portable chargers in advance.
Which, after all the chaos this month, is a nice bit of stability.
So, let's wrap this up. We've been on quite a journey. We watched gamers outsmart a pricing bot with simple math. We saw Bungie tripping over its own feet.
And we watched a cozy farming game spark a massive philosophical debate about artificial intelligence.
It really is a microcosm of where the industry is right now. We have this incredible technology.
But we're still figuring out the rules of engagement. The soul is fighting back against the machine.
And it feels like we're going to be asking that question a lot this year.
I think so. And if I can leave you with one final thought. The backlash Heartopia faced. It happened because they admitted to using AI.
Right, they told on themselves.
So consider this. As these algorithms get better, just like the ones GameStop patched, will we eventually lose the ability to tell the difference between a labor of love and streamlined production?
That's a little ominous.
If Heartopia hadn't said a word and the AI was just 10% better, would anyone have ever noticed? And if the game is still fun, and it makes you feel that warmth, does it actually matter who or what wrote it?
That is a terrifying and fascinating question. If I can't tell the difference, is the soul still there? I have a feeling we're going to be arguing about that for a long, long time. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you.
Game on.